First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Scientists find evidence of a new settlement at Stonehenge. A village of small houses found at the Durrington Wall site contains pieces of wood structures as well as artifacts of bed frames, dressers, and stone tools. In Antarctica, a Norwegian cruise ship has gone aground with nearly 300 passengers aboard, including 113 Americans. A sister ship is streaming to rescue them. There are no reports of injuries or serious danger. U.S. astronauts today are scheduled to conduct the first of three spacewalks expected over the next 9 days. It's the only time they've attempted to complete so much work in so short a time without the backup of a space shuttle. Canadian universities have completed the first part of a project mapping metabolites and other chemicals found in the human body. The $7.5 million study is expected to help doctors diagnose and monitor disease. The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates unchanged when it wraps up its meeting today. Last month, economists predicted a cut in interest rates. Now they are expecting a rate increase later this year. U.S. Airways says it may increase its hostile bid to take over Delta Airlines. Currently, the offer is $9.7 billion in cash and stock. U.S. Air CEO says tomorrow is the deadline for any new offers by his company. On Wall Street, the Dow is up. The Dow is up 12. The Nasdaq down 5, and the S&P up, down 1, I should say. This is the Quality News Network.
And now from Washington, the inside scoop: all the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the inside scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the inside scoop. Each and every day, I try to give you the inside scoop on the wild world of Washington. What goes on inside the Beltway is often arcane and difficult to understand. But given my years as an insider, I do my best to explain the world in which I once lived and where I still currently live. Today, I want to do something a little different and explain a world just as arcane and perhaps even more difficult to understand, but one in which I inhabit. The wild world of talk radio. And for some of us, talk radio, as I said, is even more difficult to understand and explain than the world of Washington, D.C. And who better to explore the world of talk radio than with a fellow progressive talk radio host, the man whose show succeeds mine right here on the Head On Radio Network each and every day, Guy James. Guy James and I had a chance to reconnect in Washington, D.C. just last week and talk about our world of talk radio, and we thought we should bring our discussion to you right here so that, any questions you have about this crazy world, you can pose to us. Guy James, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be along with you today.
Well, let me ask you the question that I think a lot of people wonder when they hear people like you and me, and that is, how the heck do we ever get into this? Why do we leave productive jobs and productive lives to go on each and every day and rant? What's your story?
Well, I think each of us have a different story. I started doing radio about 30 years ago. I really got into it as a favor to a friend to start covering basketball games, doing high school games. Later moved on to doing some college games and so forth. But did sports for a long time, filled in for the local station owner. He was a good friend of mine, and I filled in for him a lot of times and did my own show for a while and did a lot of voiceover and commercial work over the years and got away from it for a while. And when I moved to Florida, and during the 2002 election it was, my good friend who's the president of the Democratic Club I belong to here in Southwest Florida, we were so discouraged over the election that he came to me and said, you know, we got to do something. I know you used to do radio. We've got to get on, and we've got to fight for the cause. And so we started out the show, and we've knocked around a bit. We've been on three different stations here in Southwest Florida. Got booted from all three of them, but then we went on strictly on Internet, and that's where we've been ever since.
In terms of talk radio, one of the things that you and I and the few of us that really are progressive talk radio hosts, because there aren't that many, that we have to deal with is the overwhelmingly right-wing nature of most talk radio. And you guys have had to face it more than most. I, at least, live in a city that's a very liberal city, Washington, D.C., even the areas outside D.C. in the suburbs, but still within the Beltway, places like Northern Virginia and suburban Maryland, are very liberal. So even though talk radio is right-wing, the community at least supports us. You live in a very different community, don't you?
Oh, I sure do. It's as red can be. I live kind of like on a border of two counties here, Collier County, Florida, and Lee County, Florida. Collier's extremely bad. It's about 65-35%. You won't find it much higher than that any place. It's an extremely wealthy area. Naples, Florida is extreme wealth. Many homes in the $20-30 million category. And so, naturally, it brings the captains of industry and all that down extremely red. And Lee County, Florida, is about 60-40. So it's extremely red here and makes it difficult for anybody to be on local terrestrial radio.
Now, aren't there a high percentage of retired military veterans there?
Oh, there are. There are quite a few. Quite a few retired people here in general. And it crosses the gamut, really, from retired auto workers from Detroit, retired school teachers. We have a lot of retirees here, really, a tremendous number.
How long have you been doing radio down there, and what are some of the troubles you've had doing progressive radio in a red area of the country?
Well, it's been a little bit over 4 years now. We started on December 7th, oddly enough, in 2002. We've been doing it ever since. We started out on a small AM station in Naples, Florida. We bought our time. We had no sponsors. We paid by the hour for our broadcast time, and we saw the chance to move to a bigger station in Fort Myers, Florida, which we did. And again, we bought the time only at a much higher rate than we'd paid before. Again, without sponsors. And then we moved to the biggest AM station around here. We had the highest rated weekend program, many listeners. But well, I'll just tell you a quick story of how we happened to go away from there.
Go right ahead.
During a hurricane, a little over a year ago, and they called me and said that they were going to preempt the show with 24-hour. Weather coverage for the hurricane, which was all well and good. They were going to do that to all the shows, but then the hurricane turned and went away from us, and so I wondered what was going to happen. I tuned in, and I heard all the other shows that normally were on, but no one had contacted me. And, yes, right, and that's what
you know. It's interesting. I mean, we'll talk about me more when I go on your show, but it's very similar to my experience on September 11th, where I'm sitting here in a Capitol office building, and I get a knock on the door from Democrat Martin Frost, Texas, had some staff next door, and they knock on our door, and they said, the Republicans have deserted the building. And, of course, they never told us about it. So I think we have a similar experience. But,
yes.
But go ahead.
Well, I tuned in at my hour, my regular broadcast hour, to see what the heck they were going to put on, if they were going to put on weather then, because I had not been contacted by the station, and couldn't get any word from them. I almost drove over to the station to see what happened, but what did I tune into? But Rush Limbaugh took my spot, and to add insult to injuries, filled it in with the rerun of a Rush Limbaugh program, and all my listeners were treated to that. And then the following Monday, I received a note from the station that, I've quoted it many times, your program does not meet the expectations of our conservative audience. And so we were kind of retired from it for a couple of months, trying to figure out what to do, and finally said, oh, to hell with it, and we built our own studio, and we're not beholden to anybody in the local terrestrial radio business now.
You know what I find so interesting is that in conservative areas like Southwest Florida, they say things like they said to you, you know, our population is right-wing, we don't want to hear the other side, go away. And yet, in areas where I've lived, places like Southern California, places like suburbs of Washington, D.C., which are very liberal areas, some of the bluest areas of the country, what radio talk exec radios, executives of radio stations say to me is, well, we appeal to that small minority that is conservative because they're very loyal and they listen, and even if it's just 6%, these are people that we can trust to be there, that regular 6%, and the other 94%, the liberals, well, they can just listen to jazz. So you get the same argument on both sides. In blue areas, they say we have to appeal the minority, and in red areas, they say we have to appeal the majority.
Absolutely. And so by then you can figure out that ideology does figure in some ways. The local owners of the right wing Limbaugh, Hannity, Bortz, Ingram, you name it, they're all on there. They're decidedly Republican bent, and they're going to stay that way. And
you know what? And part of that actually is a complaint against our party, against the Democrats, against liberals, and I want to talk about that because the right wing funds their people. When I have right wing guests on my show, as I often do, actually, I think that's one way in which my show differs from other progressive shows because I like tearing right wingers apart. It's one of the things I most enjoy doing. But many of them are funded. They're funded by churches. They're funded by Tom DeLay. They're funded by all manner of right wing organizations that have massive amounts of money to do that funding. Liberal organizations, we seem to always being run on shoestrings. You know, we do it for volunteers. We do it barely to get by. We don't have the kind of funding that a lot of right-wing organizations have, with one exception, which I want to talk about after the break, and that is Air America Radio, who underwent its demise just this last week. And I want to talk about why that model has failed and what will arise from the ashes of Air America to be more progressive radio like the Horn. And I also want to hear from you folks if you have an opinion on this or any other topic. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, or you can always, of course, call 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back with Guy James right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest today is Guy James. He follows me on the Head On Radio Network. He's been in talk radio longer than I have, and today we're going to do the Inside Scoop, not so much on Washington, but on talk radio, a subject that perhaps I know less well than Washington. And talk radio is an interesting topic for talkers to talk about. It's something that we have to deal with every day, but not one that we often bring before you, the listeners. And, of course, the big talk in talk radio is last week's demise of Air America Radio. It is bankrupt. It owes millions and millions of dollars. It's never coming out of bankruptcy. And, indeed, it is falling apart. Guy, tell us about Air America, how it started, and why it's dying.
Well, one thing I did want to ask is, do you know something that I don't know? The fellow from New York, the entrepreneur from New York, had said that he was going to purchase it. Has that gone further?
He did. Peter Green, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
And my understanding is he did actually purchase it, but, of course, it can't possibly pay all its creditors, so no, it's going to have to work its way out of bankruptcy.
Yeah, $40 million in the hole, something like that.
Something like that. That's a lot of money.
I think they started off with good intentions. I think the Drobnys, when they got together and started the thing off, I thought they had very good intentions. I was all for it. And I'm of the opinion right now, and, you know, some people may not like it, but I'm of the opinion right now that Air America has probably hurt the liberal progressive radio effort more than it's helped.
You know, I think it's done both. It has hurt and it has helped. One of the interesting things about Air America is that they were also confronting the same kinds of things that Guy and I have been confronting. You know, people saying, hey, we just don't hire anyone left of center. I've had several, by the way, large talk radio conglomerates come up to me and say, Mark, you know, we like what you do. You're very entertaining. You do bring a Washington insider's perspective. Can you just not criticize the president so much? And I said, well, how am I going to do a show? What am I going to do if I don't criticize the president? I mean, that's every day. That's something that happens every day. That's my job. All the news the government doesn't want you to know is my tagline. And they said, well, you know, our corporate owners or our religious owners just don't want you to do that. So there are these pressures that really derive from the systemic nature of how talk radio began, as, you know, Rush Limbaugh on AM radio and everyone trying to copy him, that Guy and I and Air America and others faced. And so Air America decided they were going to build a network really from ground up. They weren't going to rely on any other talk radio conglomerate. They were going to build their own. But I think, Guy, they made some mistakes.
I do, too. I think they made some serious mistakes. And I'll say right off, you know, I'm known for, if I've got it on my mind, I'll say it, so I'll offend some people. I think they started right off with their lineup that maybe was kind of weak. It had a couple of really good people in it. They waited far too long to bring Mike on. They seem to want to be a station of a network of comedians, and in some ways I didn't see how that translated. I mean, I know how it does a little bit, but it strictly sticks with the younger audience and the demographic of the, you know, the 25 or 30 to 54 group or whatever in there was pretty much ignored.
And what's interesting to me is, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with humor. I try to have fun on my show, sure. And I certainly am a big fan of Jon Stewart and what he does. But I have a lot of listeners, young listeners, that listen to the Inside Scoop. Most of them, frankly, don't listen live. They listen on podcasts. So a shout-out to all you podcast listeners. But I think in some ways people underestimate young people and think that they can only listen to programs that strive to be humorous. And I think that really underestimates them. I think a lot of times the people of all ages are simply looking for information.
I think you're exactly right. And I think the younger people want to be informed. And if you want to go ahead and have a comedy network and all that, that's fine. I like a Jon Stewart and Steve Colbert very, very much myself. But that's not what the stated claim of this was, Air America was to start out with. And who am I to question their practices other than the fact that they've got a $40 million debt and I don't?
Well, we can't because we've never seen that kind of money, you and me, Guy.
That's right. And moreover, you've probably faced the same thing, and we may have talked about it at dinner last week, by the way. Thanks, I owe you one. I think the liberal end of it is just far more difficult to harness than the right wingers. You get a right wing talk show, and all you have to do is talk about how much you hate the illegal immigrants. You only have to talk about lowering taxes and being pro life, and that'll pretty much cover it for you. You get over on our side, and you've got an octopus with 200 tentacles here, and it's just hard to bring it. It's tough to bring it all in. It really is. You know, the criticisms. I'm sure you hear it as I do. If I
get criticized from every which way, from the left, from the right, from the center. I think it was Will Rogers who once said, "I don't belong to any organized party. I'm a Democrat."
Right.
And one of the things that I'm proud of our party is that we have always been a party that has many, many, many different opinions, and we try our best to respect them all. But, heck, you know, I know people are going to disagree with me, and some of my best debates have been with people to my left, not just with people to my right. So I actually value that, and I particularly value the callers that call in and say, "Mark, I think you're wrong, and I'll tell you why."
Yes, I do, too. It's our strength, and it's also our weakness. In talk radio, it makes it difficult to have a show that appeals to everyone. Like on the left, like Limbaugh, really does appeal to almost everybody. On the right, we'll never have an audience like a Limbaugh has that agrees, marches in lockstep with us. On the left, that's just not going to happen.
Well, because on the left, people have their own independent thoughts. People listen to what folks like you and I say, and they agree with some, and they disagree with others, and they question yet others. Whereas on the right, I mean, even the very nature of the fact that they call themselves ditto heads. What is a ditto head? A ditto head is someone who literally without thinking says ditto. You know, it's a animalistic almost, "Yes, whatever you say, I will follow." And I am proud that we don't have that kind of groupthink.
Well, you're right. The original right-wing pundit was Rush Limbaugh. He had a mass audience. He had an audience that was not only referred to as, like you say, but referred to themselves as ditto heads. And that's the nature of that echo chamber over there. And the reason why when you engage it, you can never feel a sense of real satisfaction, because it's no longer required. It doesn't, you know, they don't require facts any longer, evidence or even a supportable theory in most ways. It chooses its groupthink leaders, such as a Limbaugh, a Hannity, a Michelle Malkin, and it allows those leaders to define the world and their reality for them. And as such, it's like trying to get a creationist to understand evolution. It can't work because there's no place in their worldview for that sort of information, and it makes it difficult for us.
Well, one of the reasons why I like to invite right-wingers on my show, and I've been criticized by folks on the left saying, "Mark, you know, 95% of talk radio is right-wing. Why the heck do you waste your time inviting them on your show?" And I do it because I like to take apart their talking points, because they come in with these ready-made talking points, and in the course of an hour — you can't do this in 5 minutes on, you know, the Fox propaganda news channel, but you can over the course of an hour — literally take those talking points apart one by one. And every time they try to change the subject, I try to get back and say, "Well, hold on, let's finish exploring this." And you can show that it's just sort of it's a surface knowledge, but it's not the kind of deep knowledge. I mean, when I come up with an opinion, I try to base it on history, on psychology, on everything I know about the world, and I try to be open-minded to changing it, but it's not just some talking point. If I don't know a subject well enough to deliver my view on it, heck, I'll invite a guest who knows it better than I do. But the right wing seems to have these particular talking points, and I just want to say that one thing I think distinguishes your show, Guy, and mine from some of the others is that we don't go and grab the talking points off the Democratic Party site and just sort of say those. We come up with our own opinions, do lots of research, and sometimes disagree with the party.
Oh, absolutely. I know you, I've listened to you disagree with them many times, and I do as well. There are many times, you know, I get the Democratic Party talking points every day, and I'm sure you do as well, but half the time they're in the wastebasket because they think they're ridiculous. I won't go along with that sort of thing. I just won't.
One of the interesting things about Air America and its falling apart is that because there wasn't much national liberal talk radio that people knew about, it sort of filled in the void. It was the only thing out there, and so people who had nothing to turn to it sort of grabbed at it like a starving man. One of the things that we try to do, of course, on the Head On Radio Network is to provide different views. You and I don't agree on everything, Guy. But my hope is that things like the Head On Radio Network will grow and will replace Air America, and people will see that good talk radio doesn't have to be all about comedy. It doesn't have to be about, you know, high-paying comedians, people like you and me that are just sort of struggling to get the points across.
Well, you're so right, and it gives a diversity to the Head On Radio Network like nobody else has. Yes, we have many of the same basic beliefs, but we talk about it in so many from so many different facets. You turn into the local right wing Wink WNOG here in Southwest Florida, for example. You've got the right wing vocal host in the morning, to Laura Ingraham, to Limbaugh, to Hannity, Michael Savage,
all of them.
Who else? And
the clones, I call them.
Yeah, and I get the RNC talking points in the morning, and I'm sure you do as well. And once I read those, I know what all those shows are going to be all day long, and they never fail to prove me correct.
They do have a lot of discipline in that way. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some people on the lines. 877-4 head on. You can join the discussion. 877-4 H E A D O N. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. Right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America. Where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Well, they say you're not supposed to talk about yourself, but that's exactly what Guy James and I are doing. We're talking about talk radio. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. Susan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi there.
Hello.
I think the biggest, I guess you would call it basic difference between talk radio for the left and the right. The liberal talk radio insists that you think. The right wing, they just want you to hand over your brain and become a lemming.
Indeed, that's what a ditto head, I think, is. It's a lemming. I mean, that when ditto, means I'm not changing, I'm not modifying, there's no filter. It's like, yes, sir, I'll follow along, sir.
Yeah, definitely.
And like I said, yeah, I've had some of my most challenging questions have been from people who disagree with me on the left and not on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, you agree?
I do. We're gonna tell it like it is. You talk about a no spin zone. I don't know how O'Reilly, for example, ever started using that one, but there's no spin here. There just isn't.
I mean, it's very interesting, sort of the Orwellian terms that the right uses. They very much try to, you know, things like quote fair and balanced unquote or no spin zone. I mean, the spinners say no spin. The unfair and unbalanced say fair and balanced. I mean, it war is peace, ignorance is strength. It's very much exactly like the Orwellian stuff. But Susan, do you listen to right-wing talk radio now or only progressive stuff?
I only listen to right-wing radio if I can't get out of it, meaning if I have relatives that are freepers. If I walk
oh my God.
And they have it on, I'm stuck with it. And I can't say anything obnoxious in return.
Well, I find that it's so pervasive, it's so all over that you sometimes can't help but listen to it. One of the things that I sometimes do on my show, I haven't done it in a while, but it's fun to do, is I'll actually call into Right Wing Talk Radio and record myself. And, just when I start winning the argument, usually they hang up on me. But then I'll play those on my own show because it just shows the bankruptcy. They rarely actually even allow you on air unless you agree with them or unless they think you're stupid. So sometimes you have to sort of, when you call into those screeners, sort of play stupid or pretend like you agree and then sort of switch in the middle of the conversation. But I'll tell you this, I love it when people who disagree with me call. I think it makes for, you know, a good discussion. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes they'll even change my mind.
Well, that's a good argument is half the fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Anyway,
thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
The difference, Mark, is someone calls in and gives us a good argument and puts something behind it, got some meat behind it, we will listen.
Guy, do you listen to other talk radio hosts?
Yes, I do. I hate to admit that, but I do. I try and tune in the mornings to about 10 minutes of each of the programs that are on in the morning. In the afternoon, I try and get about 10 minutes of Limbaugh just to see what the basic spin is for the day so that we know what they're talking about.
Well, I value you that you do that. I think I do a lot of research for my shows, but Guy takes the cake. I think he spends even more time doing research than I do. Guy, how much research do you do for each show?
Well, people are either going to think I'm awfully forgetful or just plain stupid or don't have any retention, but I get done with my show at 5 o'clock in the evening. I usually go spend about an hour and a half with my wife and the puppies and have dinner and so, and then come back up and work on tomorrow's show for a couple of hours. I come to the studio at 8 o'clock in the morning and work on it until showtime every day.
I mean, that's like 8 hours prep time a day.
Yes, it is. It is.
That's a lot of time. I don't think people realize sometimes. I mean, I get people say, oh, what, you work 1 hour a day? And, of course, I have a couple other things I do. I have a television show twice a week, and I'm on XM Satellite. But put it all together, and you've got some, still less than 10 hours of actual airtime. And people think, what, you work a 10-hour week? No, I work
right.
a 60-hour week.
Right. It's sometimes grueling, and you can't, although some people will probably argue with it. You can't get on and look stupid. You have to be informed on the issues. Like they say, don't ever ask a question you don't know the answer to. And I try and do that. And I know you do as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say you listen to Rush Limbaugh. I probably should do that more, and I'll sort of take some lessons from you and maybe do that more. But partly, I don't know. I guess I don't really want them to frame the debate. I mean, sometimes I do. Sometimes I want to hear what they're saying. But usually I just come at it and think about what I want to deal with. You know, if we haven't dealt with Katrina in a while, I'm going to deal with it. I don't care whether the talking heads are dealing with it. And, in fact, you know, sometimes I'll listen to my listeners. Sarge wanted me to do a show with Jim Yancey on tomorrow, and he's coming on tomorrow because I feel it's an important issue. I'm going to talk about the Scooter Libby trial next week just because that's what I feel is important is going on in Washington, not necessarily whatever the agenda of Rush Limbaugh is.
And I listen to Limbaugh not to find out the agenda. I like to know their tactics, and that's why I study these people. I like to know their tactics, where they're coming from, and how to fight back. That's what I get from them. His content and all, I could probably can't even tell you from one day to the next what it is. But
well, I think that's important. And what's interesting to me is a lot of times the right wing will cry foul when they do, you know, exactly the same kind of thing for the Democrats. You know, when you know, they impeach Bill Clinton over a lying about a sex act, and then they get on and they say, well, Scooter Libby, he lied about a CIA agent. And you shouldn't be putting someone in on the stand or in jail for perjury. It's not that big a deal when of course, that's perjury about our national security, and yet the same kinds of things they were making about Clinton.
Oh, they're so hypocritical. Just right now, the situation with the in Iraq about sending in more troops and Bush arguing adamantly that he has all the power in the world and he can do whatever he damn well pleases, and, of course, Cheney's backing him up. They seem to forget a little deal called Somalia. When Bill Clinton had troops in Somalia, we had the Republican Congress going crazy, telling him what to do, and did use their powers. And now they're telling the Democrats that they have no power to do anything about it. Hey, I disagree, but you know, that's the nature of the beast on that side. They can talk out of both sides of their mouths very, very well.
I remember back in 1998 when Bill Clinton, acting on intelligence about a guy that no one knew existed at that time called Osama bin Laden, sent a couple of cruise missiles into Afghani terrorist training camps and, in fact, barely missed Osama bin Laden by, I think, about 4 hours, far closer than George Bush has ever gotten. And at that time, the Republicans were loudly, loudly complaining, and the movie Wag the Dog came out, and they said, Bill Clinton is trying to take the attention of America and put it on a place like Afghanistan instead of focusing on what really matters, and that is whether or not Monica Lewinsky did this or that to him. That's what matters to this country. And
right.
Today they complain he didn't do enough.
I know. It's fascinating. And, you know, you live in that town. You know the utter folly of a lot of the arguments. You've been there, done that, been up close and personal to it. And
but here's the thing. They don't believe their own bull. I mean, that's what's so interesting to me. It's not just that they're lying, but they know they're lying, and they hope that people have very short memories. I mean, it's like whenever you bring up, well, you know, you told us weapons of mass destruction, you told us lies to get us into this war, they now say, well, you know, that's old history. Let's talk about where we are today. Well, you can't understand how we are today unless you focus on what was said 3 or 4 years ago. And I find there's this sort of quick denial of history and a lot of just very simplistic stuff that they really hope will, you know, appeal to the stupid people. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, whatever you feel about Barack Obama, the fact that his middle name is Hussein is just not relevant to a discussion of him, the man, and his policy. But they know if they throw that out and they tie in with Saddam Hussein, it's kind of just like they would say Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden in the same sentence a lot in the hopes that people would actually believe the two were allies when, in fact, they were bitter enemies.
Sad truth. It works. And now they're floating the story that he's Muslim, which he is not.
No, he's not.
They do those dirty little deeds, and, you know, they know what they're dealing with. They know, and I'm sad to say it, they know that the American public, well, sometimes is not all that bright, and they've proven that.
You know, I was talking to a Republican operative the other day, and I should say that my sources in Washington are not just Democrats. A lot of times they're Republicans who don't want their names mentioned on the air, but will tell me things under their breath. And he admitted to me that the whole flap about Al Gore and the Buddhist temple, remember that?
Oh,
he admitted to me that the campaign law that Gore was claimed to have violated was extremely persnickety. In other words, he could get money from the Buddhists. He just couldn't do it inside the temple. He could do it the moment they walked outside the temple. It just shows the kind of arcane and difficult campaign finance laws we have. But he said it was never about that extremely minor violation. He said people ask for money in churches all the time.
Sure.
It was all about tying Al Gore to Buddhists, and he knows that a lot of Christians have prejudice against non-Christians, and so if you tie Al Gore to Buddhists, heck, people won't vote for Al Gore.
You're right. And how many of those Republican operatives that go about doing their little shenanigans behind the scene, how many of them actually believe Al Gore invented the Internet? None of them do.
And now they're doing the same thing with Barack Obama. And when you think about it, it just shows the implicit prejudice that they're playing on. I mean, whether it's anti-Muslim prejudice. And look, I'm all, of course, against the radical fundamentalist Muslims that killed 3,000 people on September 11th. But that's one small group of Muslims. It's a growing threat. We can talk about that. But to tar all Muslims with that brush is as wrong as tarring all Christians as some of the radical Christian leaders. All Christians aren't Fred Phelps. All Muslims aren't Osama bin Laden. And it's all about really playing on this kind of xenophobia about someone who's different. Republicans always seem to act to divide us, whether it's white-black relations, the famous commercials of Strom Thurmond and Trent Lott and Jesse Helms about the white hand and they gave your job to a black person. One of the things I want to talk about, Guy, after the break is the difference between party that seeks to divide us and a party that seeks to unite us, and how well talk radio does in that regard. If you want to call in, folks, you're welcome to do so. 877-4-HEAD-ON. When this is done, this hour is done, I'm going to be on Guy's show for another hour talking about talk radio. But we'll be right back here right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The topic today is talk radio. And to discuss talk radio on talk radio, I've invited a talk radio host by the name of Guy James, who many of you know. He follows me on the Head On Radio Network. He has his own website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, which you can go directly to. Or if you forget that, you can always go to my website. I have now permanently linked him on my website. We've got to do more cross-promotion, and heck, that's what we're doing here today. Guy, we've got Alice on the line. I believe Alice is always wins the record for the caller who has seen the most in her life, lived the longest life. Alice, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark and Guy. Good to hear you both on together. I suppose it's good to have right-wing guests, but I get the feeling that the only reason they come on is that they believe they will be able to make some of their talking points stick with some people.
Well, I'm sure that is why they come on, Alice. I agree with you. I think they think they're going to be more persuasive, and I think I'm going to be more persuasive, and that's why we both joined the debate, and we persuade some people and don't persuade others. But what's interesting to me is that it's far rarer for right-wingers to invite me on their show than for me to invite them on my show, and I think it's because they realize that I will persuade some people, and therefore they're afraid of having me on the show. I mean, I would like nothing better than to be up there tearing Sean Hannity into little pieces. There's a reason why he has Alan Colmes on there. Alan Colmes has the personality of, a wet noodle and the knowledge of not much more. He's someone who's there as a patsy, and I should tell you that I've met Alan Colmes in talk radio conferences, and he will tell me that his first job is to please his Fox corporate bosses, and his second job is entertain, and if he gets some liberal ideology in there as his third job, well, that's his third priority. That's never been my third priority. Guy, I wonder if you have a comment on that.
Oh, you couldn't be more correct about Alan Colmes. You're right about his first priority is to make his bosses look good, and he makes half-hearted attempts sometimes, but never, ever is allowed to drive his point home, and I think that's tragic. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't be somebody's whipping boy, and that's what he is.
Have you met a lot of these talk radio hosts personally?
Some. It depends on the left or right you're talking about. The only two I've ever met on the right, I met the three, Laura Ingraham, Neil Bortz, and makes me laugh, Mike Gallagher. Those three. I've met those three, yeah.
What are your personal impressions of those three?
Well, one of them, Bortz, is a good showman. He's a good showman, and I think he's been around radio a long, long time. Don't think he believes half of what he says, but he's good at inciting people to get his opinion out. He's very good at it. Gallagher is right-wing, brown-nosing, whatever he can do to advance his career. He will follow any right-wing talking point he has to. He fills in on Fox now and then and has his own show. Laura Ingraham, I don't know what to make of her. She's a very charming person in person, very charming, and yet she can be really tough on the air sometimes. I she's the one that did the most toward this flip-flopper thing back when Kerry was running, and I often wonder today what she must think about John McCain if we want to talk about flip-floppers, but we'll not get the chance to ask her on the air. You can bet on that.
You know, I attend these radio and records conventions virtually every year. In fact, I attended even when I was a congressional staffer before I started talk radio. And when Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity walk in the room, they walk in as royalty. I mean, they are treated like royalty. They treat themselves as royalty. They expect everyone to fawn and salivate all over them. They literally walk in the room as the Queen of England might walk into a room, and they expect everyone literally to praise them completely. And I remember just 3 years ago, and of course this is long before Air America, when I started on talk radio, and of course even longer when you did, Guy, but I remember Sean Hannity came, and he was the keynote speaker and the honored guest and the king of AM radio, blah, 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 blah. And he comes into the room, and there are about 400 of us sitting at the tables. And he seems to think that talk radio hosts somehow reflect the American public, which, of course, they don't. They're far to the right of the American public. And he walks in the room, and he's trashing Hillary Clinton. And he said something effective. I mean, who in this room liked Hillary Clinton's health care program anyway? And in the 400 of us, I raised my hand, and another woman in the room raised her hand. And there were two of us. Two of us in this room of 400, and he said, well, I know her, and, you know, no surprise out of her. You, I don't know. But he seemed to imply that because so few people on talk radio were moderate or progressive, that so few Americans are moderate or progressive. And sometimes I fear that because talk radio is so overwhelmingly right-wing, that some people actually don't realize that, most of America doesn't agree with them.
That's
I know your
point.
Views on that.
Very good point. You mean, how about since, it's hard for me to imagine a guy being Rush Limbaugh and walking into a room to adulation like that at the Heritage Foundation or American Enterprise Institute meeting or whatever, to walk in and be treated like royalty, knowing his background and his severe personal problems and all that, to get, you know, the horrible embarrassment the man has suffered if he's human. It's hard for me to believe. I wouldn't be able to show my face. I wouldn't.
Well, I was actually at the convention that occurred maybe a month or two after his drug problems became a public knowledge. And he came in there, and everyone was just as treating him just as they did before. And they said, you know, it's been unfair how the press has treated you, how the prosecutor has treated you. They, you know, you've been crucified, Rush. You know, they literally said things like, you know, you're on the cross, that they've got you, but you're fighting back. There was no indication that these same right-wingers that would take some, you know, poor kid from the ghetto on crack and totally let, you know, destroy them, that they had any feeling that Rush Limbaugh had done anything wrong. I mean, you look at a guy like G. Gordon Liddy or Ollie North, okay? These are people that have had the highest trust in our nation. And what have they done? They've broken the law. They've committed serious felonies, lying to Congress and so forth. Gordon Liddy going to jail for Watergate. And yet they come out and the right wing treats them again with ultimate adulation. You broke the law for a good cause. It's amazing to me, really, how much more law-abiding liberals are. We care about the Constitution. They don't seem to.
You're right. Those are the real Republican family values. You just mentioned them right there. G. Gordon Liddy can walk into any organization, including evangelical organizations across the country, and they will treat him with adulation, and it totally befuddles me.
One of the things I find most interesting, when I go on my TV show, I literally carry a copy of the Constitution with me. But I really find offensive how those on the right are trying to take American values, things that we all share, left and right, things like the American flag, things like the United States Constitution, and they try to claim it for their own. They try to claim that, liberal judges, activists are violating the Constitution. But what I try to do on my show, and I'm sure you do as well, Guy, is I cite the Constitution. I say, hey, Fourth Amendment, you know, you can't do a search without a warrant. You can't tap our phones without a warrant. And it's interesting that I find, I would argue, too few Democrats carry their Constitution around and wear it like a badge of honor the way I do. And I'd encourage others to do the same. Don't let them take our symbols.
That's right. I saw the master of that the other day in Washington. Oh, Bob Byrd. He's always got that copyright in his pocket.
Well, and also in terms of the flag, I mean, I like that, you know, your site, my site, we're not afraid to show the red, white, and blue. We may disagree about what our country is doing from time to time, but that doesn't change our love of country. And we got another hour to go, folks. Guy's going to interview me on many of these same topics, or really anywhere he wants to go. So if you're on the Head On Radio Network, stick around for the Guy James Show, where I'm going to be his honored guest. And don't forget to check out both our websites, whether you're a regular Guy James listener or Inside Scoop listener, RadioInsideScoop.com, www.theguyjamesshow.com. Stick around. We've got one more hour to go. We'll be right back after the news break.
CEO job
performance. Hello?
In Birmingham, England, 9 people were arrested in an alleged kidnapping plot. It involved the torture and beheading of a British Muslim soldier. Afterwards, the killing would be broadcast over the Internet. For the second day, members of the Iraq Study Group appeared before a congressional hearing. Co-chair former Representative Lee Hamilton said the training of the Iraqi police force has been botched. He said the wrong agencies were assigned the task. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said an American soldier was killed in combat. The death brings this month's death toll to 85. Also in Iraq, in mostly Shiite neighborhoods today, bombs and mortars killed at least 12 people at several locations. An apparent retaliatory attack on a Sunni neighborhood killed 4 people. U.S. officials report possible Iranian links to the recent attack at a Karbala compound that killed 5 U.S. soldiers. One was killed at the site, 4 others were abducted and later found dead. NATO reports that in southern Afghanistan today, around 30 militants were killed in fighting against Afghan and NATO forces. CNN reports that Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law and former best friend was killed in Madagascar while on a business trip. The family did not give details but said his possessions had been stolen. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said today he will give the Senate Judiciary Committee secret documents with details of the government's controversial domestic spying program. The announcement today ends a 2-week standoff with Congress. In the perjury trial of former Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Scooter Libby today, former Time Magazine reporter Matt Cooper is expected to testify. There are as many as 5 different non-binding resolutions among lawmakers who are critical of President Bush's 21,000 troop surge in Iraq. In an effort to control Republican opposition, President Bush will meet with GOP senators on Friday at the White House. Democratic Senator Joe Biden of Delaware officially opened his 2008 presidential campaign today by filing papers with the Federal Election Commission. He has already made some controversial remarks about his Democratic rivals and their ideas. Author Sidney Shelton died yesterday at the age of 89. He was a prolific writer, and several of his novels became television mini-series. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The U.S. Census Bureau will go high-tech for the 2010 count. Temporary workers will use handheld computers to make the count more accurate and precise. About 500,000 workers will participate. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez continues to increase his power to transform the country into a socialist society. Today, the Congress granted him authority to put sweeping measures into place by decree. The Commerce Department reports in the fourth quarter the U.S. economy grew at a 3.5% rate. That is more than economists had expected. Altria Group announced in late March it will sell off its majority stake in Kraft Foods as part of a restructuring plan. Advertising for this Sunday's Super Bowl is expected to run $2.6 billion for a 30-second ad, the highest rate ever. The NYSE Group, the corporate parent of the New York Stock Exchange, has agreed to enter a strategic alliance with the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The joint pairing would include shared listings and the trade of technology and marketing. The Federal Reserve has left the benchmark interest rate at its current mark, 5.25%. Light sweet crude has been trading above $58 a barrel today. Currently, it's at $58.07 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 114 points at 12,637. NASDAQ up 15, S&P 500 up 10. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
You get dropped out.
Six, five, four, three.